Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Welcome everybody to the first ever Webate. It is brought to you by Faris IQ. This is not your average webinar. This is where sharp minds are going to clash in a battle of wit, perspective, and in the trenches experience driving real results for business. I am Katrina Gonzalez. I'm the marketing director here at Faris IQ, and I am the host for today's event. Today, our challengers will take each other on to debate some of the hottest, and I would say most heated topics in the industry. Whether they are defending their beliefs or simply playing devil's advocate, we may never know, but that's part of the fun. What we do know is they are here to challenge each other and our assumptions. We're going to be gaining insight from what I consider some of today's most influential voices. So, a few points about today's event. This match is going to be fierce. We are pulling no punches. At the end, you all get to be the ones to judge. We're going to vote on each round. I've got three rounds here. The guys are ready to go. And then you're also going to ultimately decide who will be crowned champ Victoria. So we are ready to rumble. May I introduce the fiercest and most respected voices in the market in the gold corner? We have got Mason, always been the upright Cosby. He is the founder of Scrappy ABM, a content creator and a podcaster. He is dedicated to helping marketers thrive. One of the reasons he is here, giving some of his advice and best practices. And just like his relentless drive to keep things lean and mean for business, he has taken that past into the death treadmill. I don't know if he's on it today. Probably not.
Defeating Tim will be like a walk in the park, but I figured it'd be a little distracting for today.
I hear you. All right. Now, in the blue corner, him, the fruit ninja, Davidson.
Boo.
So we've got a semi-funny B2B content creator and founder of B2B Riz, an ABM with LinkedIn ads consultancy for B2B SaaS. When he's not playing on LinkedIn, he is slicing up fruit. Organic, not organic. All right. Perfect. So let's just jump into it. Round one is intent data. In the game for nearly a decade, it burst onto the scene promising to be a true game changer in identifying where a buyer is in their journey and what accounts to focus on. Years later, the question does loom. People are debating, we all know. Is it a critical and effective forest strategy or has it become jumble, black box, co-opted data of questionable value? Mason, I am going to start with you. You got a couple minutes, and I have a feeling you are going to come out swinging. From there, we are going to have to see whether Tim's intensive training over, I don't know, weeks, days, minutes, going to show up in this battle. Fight start.
This is very simple. Intent data is a complete waste of money and was marketed with very big promises that have delivered for very few alone. When I think about intent data, all it says is there might be some way that someone from the CEO to the janitor somewhere, maybe some account or someone that works at another company because they're married to someone that works in the same house, they might be searching on something that is similar to your topics, maybe. And that was marketed as this holy grail idea that you've got fish in a barrel. You know exactly who's in a buying cycle. That's your 3% of the market. And surprise, it hasn't worked. Because even if, let's say that it is identifying in-market buying signals, which is a big assumption in and of itself, that doesn't mean that anybody's in-market for you. That just means they might be in-market for a thing that might be somewhat related to your topic, which is a complete false trigger. It's a false signal if you use it by itself. So I like to think about third-party intent data as if it's used at all, and that's sincerely, it's just further prioritization of specific accounts that you marry with your first-party engagement data. You can see they're actively engaged with us, so they're brand aware, and they might be interested in something. But to build an entire program like many have entirely around third-party intent is a complete waste of time, money, energy, effort, and will come up with next to no results.
All right. That they were some pretty serious jabs that you took there. Jim is not looking particularly impressed. Couldn't tell if he was cracking his knuckles. Kim,
he's mostly over his head.
Kim, come out swinging. Jal, crab hook.
So I think what you're talking about is the intent data that's being sold that's just garbage. So yes, there's some crap intent data, like everything. There's crap agencies, there's crap software, there's crap everything. Intent data, if you think about what intent data is, you mentioned, it searches. Google Ads, for the longest time, it's the whole platform, right? Except for some of the parts, but the whole platform is intent data. Someone searches, I need this software, blah, blah, blah. That's intent data. Now, to your point, there's a lot of different companies and platforms selling intent data using that kind of same logic. But what they've done is they made it broader because they need to sell a 50K software. And to make that work, if you have a very niche industry, you need to broaden that search volume or those searches, those topics to make it actually make sense for them to spend 50K. So what's happened is because people are selling you something, they need to sell a big high ACV product, the intent data has become garbage. But that's just one part of it, right? There is intent data that actually works, which is everything's pretty much, there's so many different ways to think of intent data. You can even just think of like Facebook and Instagram or TikTok algorithms. When they show you something because you're talking about it, we can go as wired head as we want. If you're talking about it and then you start seeing videos, that's technically intent. That's how Facebook and Instagram's algorithm is all based off of the intent of what you're looking forward to buy. So intent data, because it's being sold like that, is bad. But if you think about intent data overall, you actually look at the right signals, not the ones that are just being sold to you. That's when intent data is actually good. The other side of it, like you mentioned, prioritization. Here's the thing. If you have, especially if you're a bigger company, you have tons and tons of SDRs and you have tons and tons of a big sales team and marketing team, and you have all these accounts. At the end of the day, no one's got unlimited budget. You need to prioritize your resources, which are your team budget, towards certain things. And the best way to do that, if you think about it, is intent. That could be bad intent, like you mentioned, or it could be okay intent or decent intent or good intent, which obviously you want to tie in multiple places, not just look at one place, look at one thing or signal. But I think I will align with you on this, that there's bad intent out there. And that's what a lot of people are going towards because it's just the easiest.
All right. I can tell that you guys are pretty even head to head. Nobody is on their back foot. I think Tim delivered a couple punches there too, or at least has made them moving around the ring. So that ends round one. We are going to round two, ABM platform. Everybody loves to debate this one. Tons on the market. They are supposed to be a critical driver to an effective ABM strategy. Have they truly delivered on the value that they promised? We talked about intent data. Costing companies thousands of dollars a month does beg the question, is the ROI really there? Ken, I am going to send this one to you because you are not on your back foot. See if you can send Mason back a little bit.
Okay. So ABM platforms. I want to start with, I do not think every company should have one or it makes sense or should buy one. Just, I've done this. Hey, let's do ABM. Let's buy an ABM platform. You're not going to do anything. That's where ABM platforms are bad. Where I think ABM platforms make sense are if you are doing some sort of ABM program or you've actually figured out, oh, this is what we need to scale a program that you're already running, whether it's just using email or LinkedIn ads, whatever it is, where you can actually target specific accounts and get into it, specific accounts. ABM platforms are brilliant for that. There's a lot of offerings towards that and help you scale. Where I would also say ABM platforms make a big impact is it gives you all that functionality that helps you, again, prioritize companies. Because a lot of these platforms, they do have some sort of intent data or first party data, or allow you to see the accounts that are on your website, allow you to look at certain accounts and how they're progressing towards a stage. And there's actually data that shows, oh, okay, they hit this stage of engagement. They have like five, I think it's like the number was like 5x higher conversion rate for someone actually coming in, like converting on that ad or call or whatever that is. So there's a lot of actual reasons to use an ABM platform, again, with the prioritization, with higher conversion rates, with the being able to see website visitors and the accounts. And I know they can be expensive. Let's not debate that. But if you're doing ABM, ideally, those accounts you're going after are higher average contract values, which would make the ROI, the return on investment on an ABM platform, actually make sense. Because what, say it's 100K. If you close two deals that are 100K each, the ROI is there, right? Because of that. Obviously, there's other things you have to factor into it, but it can make sense for a lot of companies. Not every company, let's not debate that, but it can make sense for a lot of companies.
All right. I think Tim made some pretty valid points. I don't know if people are going to agree. They can certainly add into chat what they think, but this now goes back to Mason. Mason, what do you think?
What ABM platforms have done incredibly well is evangelize the concept that is ABM. What they did incredibly poorly is made it seem like they were the only way to get it accomplished. At the end of the day, Tim said, if you really think about what is the investment for an ABM program, he referenced the technology. What he didn't reference is the hidden costs that are associated with hiring an outside consultant for the RevOps project that integrates into your existing CRM and your marketing automation platform. And then just the amount of time that it takes for training and enablement to learn a new tool. The challenge here is when you really add up the cost to invest in an ABM platform, truly is about 200K if you do data enrichment plus all the bells and whistles on your Six Sense or a demand base or a major ABM platform, plus then a gifting component, not to factor out the gifting budget in and of itself. 200K right there. Then we're also factoring in an outside RevOps project that's going to probably run you 50 to 100K. And then you're also thinking about all the time from a headcount and a salaries perspective on all of these different meetings to just get the thing up and running to run the quote unquote pilot program. So you've invested 6 months in about $500,000 to get something going. So I agree with Tim. ABM programs are great with an ABM platform when they're ready to scale. I think people think they're too ready to scale too quickly because you need to stop thinking about scaling. You need to start thinking about how do we get something that actually functionally works today using our existing tooling and our existing people. It has everything to do standardly with right people and right processes and understanding how do we work together across marketing and sales. How do we actually dedicate the right amount of time, energy, and effort to create highly personalized and engaging content that is prioritized effectively based on viable signals that are likely all within your existing first-party data? So again, if you're going to go the route of ABM, I built a company on this called Scrappy ABM, meaning start with what you have today, build great processes that enable your current people. And then once you've built out a great process, guess what? You'll find all the gaps that you actually need to fill in with technologies that allow you to scale. So yes, you should have an ABM platform eventually. It's just probably far later than you think it is.
That is very interesting. We have got some bruising and possibly a little bit of blood flowing here. I don't even know if I entirely agree with every single point. Certainly some interesting points, but the debate, I think, still is out. Do you invest? When do you invest? What is it truly going to do? Really interesting points here. That is going to wrap up round two. We are moving to round three, the absolute final round. Where do these guys stand? Is either one of them on the back foot? Who's got the lead? Pilot program, you are rolling out a new strategy. How much should you invest up front? Or do you invest anything beyond human capital? Mason, I am going to let you start off on this one too. The advantage is Tim is going to have the final say and the final chance to stay on his feet. Unless you knock him out first, over to you, Mason.
You should not invest anything other than time, energy, and effort in your first ABM program. And for the past 3 years, I have been doing that. I've not run a single paid ad for an ABM program. And I have generated roughly $8 million at a 20x ROI.
because I validated right people with right processes before we overinvested to scale something. So you have to figure out the process. You have to figure out who do we actually want to prioritize, because ABM programs with highly enabled technology will show you this whole world of accounts. And of course they are, because the goal of the ABM platform is to show you the world of opportunities that you could be pursuing and how you need to spin these ads to get in front of all these different people so that you can end up actually renewing their ABM platform. If you only were actually shown, you probably actually only have about 30 of your ICP fit enterprise accounts that are actively in market right now and are aware of you, no one would renew. But that's actually probably the case for most people because they've not invested in ABM previously. So again, if you're going to start an ABM program, starting small, starting with right people using your existing technology and focusing specifically on the partnership with sales, which is the number one reason any ABM program will fail, is that marketing doesn't work well with sales because sales doesn't actually activate on what marketing delivers, because marketing hasn't historically actually delivered on a revenue-based program. Lots to unpack there. All that to say, if you actually get the partnership with sales correct before you overinvest, then when you actually do create the opportunity for a scalable program through right technologies with streamlined processes, you get exponential growth potential versus stagnated growth where you have a one-hit wonder type program that you attribute to the technology, when in reality, you probably could have accomplished it without the technology. You just didn't know it because you were starting for the first time.
Very interesting point, Mason. I see what you're saying. Do you bring a partner in? Where does your expertise lie? How much time and effort is that going to take to just get a pilot program up and running? Are you looking at specific channels? How does that all come to play? How do you choose your channels? What channels come in? And I am going to send this over to you, the final argument here. You do have a couple minutes before we close this thing out and give it back to the audience to decide who really is making these points the best. Who do they agree with? Over to you, Tim.
You say to start these pilot programs, you don't need anything but
time, right?
No money, no extra dollars, no extra anything like that. But isn't time money? Time is money, is it not? Especially for a small team. I've seen some of these salaries. I can do the math on the back end, how much that costs. Couldn't technology scale that time or give that time back to them so they can focus on other things that they can't, but they're going to be tied up with the pilot program? So I would say time is money, although I do agree with your kind of overarching thing here. Then, but you also say that you don't need technology. How do you send the emails? How do you reach out to these people? Is LinkedIn not technology? Is email not technology? Or are you doing that? Or is it pigeons? Are you using pigeons for this? If that's the case, that might work. It would stick out. I will not debate that. But I would debate that there is money and time being spent in these pilot programs regardless, that you could use technology. Let me be clear, not saying to spend $200,000 on an ABM platform. That makes zero sense. But you could spend $1,000 on LinkedIn ads. You could spend a couple of dollars here and there for maybe even just getting more resources like a virtual assistant or freelancers to help scale that time of that very expensive VP of something. I'm babbling here because I do agree with everything you said there, but time is money and there's some holes.
I think that's the thing here is that anytime you are looking at something and having countering perspective, there is gray areas, right? There is truth in certain elements of different things. What we do know is that right now, marketing teams are absolutely stretched. They do not have huge budgets. That is where Scrappy makes sense. And at the same time, you look at that and you say, teams are cut, budgets are down. You have to know that you're making the right decision, that you are going to get the best result, not just looking at it as a CPC or a CPL. What's the intelligence that you're acting on to run those programs? Does your team, in trying to cover brand, demand creation, demand capture, ABM program, if a bit of investment is going to go a long way, whether, again, it's a partner or it's a smaller scale technology or getting very wise about your stack, again, these pilot programs, if you're going to be proving a theory and then going back to the board and your other team to deliver those results and make those assumptions and then invest further, like, you need to make sure that you have done it right from the absolute beginning. You guys, you're still standing on your feet. I do not need to go count. I do not need to pick one of you up. You've both done incredibly well. But at the same time, like, I'm seeing you didn't get out of this unscathed. Some very valid points back and forth. So with that, it is absolutely time to put the power into our attendees' hands. I want to hear, these guys probably want to hear, I don't know how much they loaded the deck here with stacking the audience. What happened? All right.
He's a thrill.
Audience, it is time to open this poll. And what everybody will do, you'll answer on each of the rounds. You guys were going to crown champion. And we are going to close out here. I am asking people to stay on just for a moment, see these results, and then give a huge thanks here to our champions, our contenders, before we wrap up for the day. Giving people about a minute or so, the votes are starting to trickle through. Here we go. What are you all doing there? Multitasking, trying to figure out where your budgets are going to go. We have got 20 seconds remaining. I still have some no answers. If I see too many no answers, we are just going to move on and leave the results to the people who have been acting. Couple no answers, round one, round two. Starting 3, 2, 1, 0. Closing this poll. All right. Let's see here. All right. I am seeing that round one. Wow, that went to Mason. Round two, ABM. That went to Tim. Very interesting. Round three, back to Mason. Oh, my goodness. That was a tough one. All right. Just from a hair. Round champion victorious. The belt is going to go to Mason. But that was incredibly tight. Overall champion. Oh, and actually, I'm some contention here. All right. So, again, I've had a blast. I hope that you guys did as well. I do want to do an absolute grateful thank you and shout out to Mason and Tim for bringing their A game today and being such good sport. Do not forget to connect with them on LinkedIn if you haven't already. You can visit Mason at Scrappy ABM, Tim at B2BRiz.com. Again, I'm Katrina Gonzalez from Pharos IQ. I'd invite you to connect with us on LinkedIn as well in case you haven't already. Check out our podcast, B2Boring. Our other events that we've got on the calendar, and learn more about our AI signals engine, focusing on down funnel engagement, as well as our complimentary demand gen solutions. You can find all that info at pharosiq.com. So thank you so much for joining, everybody. And let's keep pushing the boundaries and challenging our assumptions on our marketing strategies. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, we've got a ton of other episodes that dig into how you can build programs using your existing tech stack. Additionally, if you have specific questions that you'd like to ask, we host a weekly live stream on LinkedIn called the ABM AMA, where you can join and get your questions answered directly by experts. And lastly, if you're looking for practical templates, guides, frameworks, and playbooks, check out scrappyabm.com, where we're building a library of resources that help ABMers just like you get their programs off the ground. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.